This is Inspector Toolbelt Talk.
Welcome back to Inspector Toolbelt Talk, everybody, and it is our much anticipated quarterly report. So, or quarterly outlook, rather. I forget what this is called now, Beyond.
Yeah, we're looking ahead, not looking, well, some looking back, I guess, but we're trying to look ahead.
Yeah, we're a little late with our Q2 market outlook, mostly because we had a couple of other podcast episodes that we already had in the works. And also, there was a few things that I wanted to see how they would play out over the past few weeks before we did the report, because I think that they actually mattered to our outlook. So a little late, but this is our Q2 market outlook and looking forward to it.
Seems like these are coming by really fast at the moment. It's like, I can't believe how fast these quarters are going by.
Well, and that was the other thing is, to be perfectly frank, I'm like, didn't we just do a quarterly report?
Right.
Yeah, back in January. But that's good, though, because, you know, the Q2 market outlook is always going to be one of the better ones because we're heading into the spring market. Although last year's Q2 market outlook was a little dismal, but this year looking a lot better, looking light years better. So let's dig in right into the information here. Should we start with the good news or bad news first, Beyond?
I always choose bad news so I can feel good at the end.
Okay.
You know, but
well, people might turn us off if they get too far into the bad news.
Skip, fast forward to the second half of the podcast.
Well, why don't we mix it up a little bit? We'll do a little good news, a little bad news. First, bad news is that the market isn't changing in leaps and bounds. So even if you Google, you know, real estate market projections and predictions and stuff like that, all of them say the same thing. You look at, there was many different websites that we looked at. NAR released some stuff, which is funny. Newsweek, Forbes, and all these industry experts, a lot of Wall Street, they all say the same thing. This isn't the year that the market, quote unquote, recovers, because that's what you see as one of the major search terms right now is 2024, the market recovery. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. But a little bit. And the reason people are looking that up is because things are getting better. And there's the good news. Things are actually getting a lot better for a smaller pool of people. As we mentioned before, a lot of home inspectors went out of business last year and the year before. A lot of real estate agents have gone out of business. Some estimates are around 30 to 40% of real estate agents. And then even more they're predicting, and even Nick Romico said on one of our previous episodes, that's getting rid of a lot of agents that were kind of low-hanging fruit that dropped to the ground anyways. Mm-hmm. And that's actually making a lot of room. So a smaller pool of people, smaller pool of houses and inspections, but it kind of equalizes a little bit better. So things are looking good on a smaller scale. My favorite word, anecdotally, I'm just seeing numbers go really great for a lot of guys. Guys that last year said, I'm going out of business or I'm getting a job, and I'm like, dude, hang in there. It'll get better. Are this year coming around saying, okay, I'm back on track. I'm back to, you know, 2022 numbers and things are looking good. And a lot of them are saying too, you know, three guys that were my main competition, only one of them's left. You know, or this guy two towns over doesn't work anymore and he went back and he's a trucker again or went back into construction. So that's the initial bad and good part of our market outlook. I think this next quarter is going to make everybody feel warm and fuzzy because it's going to be the best quarter that we have seen in a long time and at least the past year or two. So there's my initial thoughts. What are your thoughts, Bian?
Yeah, I agree with that outlook. It fundamentally, not a lot has changed. We still, like, the pressures on the market are still there. We still got high interest rates, and they started edging a little bit higher. We had that red hot jobs report, employment report, and that was interesting because it's always interesting to see how, like, a strong economy. So, okay, if your jobs report is hot, the Fed is interested in trying to keep inflation cooled. So we were hoping to see lower interest rates. But as long as the economy stays strong, you're probably not going to see those interest rates go down very soon, very quickly. But another interesting dynamic that some folks have commented on is the fact that because employment is so good, people are employed, they're feeling a bit more secure financially, and they may be more inclined to want to, you know, make that house purchase. The other interesting thing, and this is, again, just anecdotally, not any sort of like data that I've gathered, but recently I've had a conversation with one of my neighbors down the road, and they are renting their property and have been for the last few years. Their hope was to be able to buy the house that they were living in. But with the increasing prices over the last few years, that's no longer affordable. But they're now looking at buying a house, but they've come to terms with the fact that it's not going to be this kind of house. They're going to have to look for something smaller, something more affordable. But they're coming to terms with the fact that that's just how it is for right now. So I don't know if that's an indication of a broader sentiment, but that's a good thing for us too, because all we care about is real estate transactions going up. And it looks like we should see a surge into the spring like we always do. Although interesting, the last thing I'll say, and then just maybe get your feedback, is it seems year on year, the numbers for this year are still a little below last year. But I wonder, maybe because the markets, individual markets, there's less service providers, there's less home inspectors available. Mm-hmm. So if the numbers are going up, even if it's not quite at what it was last year, for you locally, if you're still in the game, you're probably going to see more business. So anyways, that was just what you made me think of as I was listening to your comments there.
Yeah. And you said that the last part of what you were saying there, exactly what I was trying to say. If there's $100 this year and there was $102 last year, even though we're slightly under, if you have 50 people to that $100 instead of 70 people to that $100, everybody's still getting a little bit more. So it's just basic math. There's less home inspectors in the market and less real estate agents in the market. But there's also some good things. You know, it's funny you tell me about your neighbor renting the house. Industry experts are, and I said this actually, I want to say in the Q3 2022 market outlook, that what'll end up happening is people will finally resign themselves to the new norm of interest rates. Mm-hmm. And I've always said interest rates don't matter as much as we all think they do. It's just the easiest metric to look at. But interest rates are, in April anyways of this year, 7.08% according to Bankrate. So that's a big chunk. But what people are doing is they're like, well, okay, so interest rates aren't going down. Although they keep saying they will, and then they just go down and go back up again. So what they're doing is they're buying and then refinancing later on, which isn't a bad idea. It's like, oh, okay, so I can get the house that I want now, stop paying $3,500 a month in rent and refinance in maybe 5 years. And in fact, I was just looking at a 5-year projection and they're saying we could get back down into the 5% range, which is where they want to be within that time period. So it's actually not that bad. People still have to move because they work. They have to move because of family. And people that were waiting to move, they're like, oh, let me wait this out, are realizing now, a year and a half, 2 years later, okay, this isn't changing.
Right.
So
let's
do it.
Right. Because, I mean, when you look at the actual dollar amount, so you were saying like over 5 years, that, you know, 2-3% higher interest rate that you're paying over those 5 years, what does that really represent in a dollar? I haven't done the calculations, but I guess people are looking at that amount and saying, well, it's not really that. I'm willing to take that hit to make bigger moves and bigger decisions in my life. So, it is interesting to see how that is driving things. But among home inspectors, their perception, the feeling is things are coming back. This is looking good. This is feeling a lot better. And that makes me happy.
Well, yeah, it's not only a general feeling, but there's real numbers from inspection companies in local areas to say, here were our numbers last year, here are our numbers this year. Reporting states are showing improved numbers. One of those things, one of the metrics that we look at for home inspections is how long a house sits on the market. So recently, it went up from 34 days on the market to 38 days on the market. So first of all, that doesn't seem great. Like, you may be sitting there thinking, oh man, that doesn't seem like very long. It sits on there for a month. And 4 days, it's like, that's not much either. But when you consider that the average house, when the market was at its hottest, sat on the market for a week, and only sat on the market for a week so that they could collect all of the all of the offers that they were getting in. That's a huge jump. So 4 days is sometimes how long a house would sit on the market, and we've increased that much. So the longer a house sits on the market, the less likely a skipped inspection situation is going to happen. So more houses on the market are getting an inspection. A house that sits on the market for 5 days, almost guaranteed to skip an inspection. House that sits on the market for 34 days, very likely that house is getting a home inspection. So that's also contributing to an increase for home inspectors, is skipped inspections are on a downward trend. Also, agents have felt the burn. I say agents. Agencies would be a better situation. So if, let's say you're Keller Williams and you're dealing with six lawsuits right now in the state that you operate in, of people suing you because there was no home inspection and your agent made you waive it, or quote unquote, the client felt like you made them waive it to get the house. You're going to rethink your policy and say, listen, guys, make sure you get inspections. So skipped inspections is on a downward trend. So that's also helping. Same number of sales, approximately, not that much difference, I should say, but more inspections actually happening. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I wonder if this whole NAR settlement thing will ultimately result in an uptick in inspections. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Because especially guys who are going with no buyer's agent, they'll probably, their one thing they're going to be relying heavily on is the home inspector. But I don't know. That's just in my own mind. I'm not sure if that's actually what we're going to see happening.
Well, we've talked about that on that previous podcast that we did on that just a few weeks ago. I don't think it's going to make a huge dent, but I do think it contributes to more inspections. I really do. Also, I mean, we haven't really seen the fallout of it. July is when everything is going to happen. And then on top of that, something that happened in between our last podcast and this one is the lawsuit was settled. But is it called an injunction beyond? I forget what it is. Not an injunction. Something where the Department of Justice, the DOJ, inserted themselves and says, this settlement does not cancel our case against you. We're investigating you still.
Yeah. In fact, I think there was a previous injunction that was in place where they couldn't continue their investigation.
Yeah.
But they got that cleared. And I think we'll have to call Nick. He knows all about injunctions. He'll know if we're using the right thing, the right terminology.
I think it was a reverse injunction, like it removed the injunction. We said injunction so much. It doesn't sound like a word anymore.
Injunction. But yeah, so I think whatever blocker it was cleared. So they're now free to investigate, which will be interesting too. So we'll see how that pans out. Another interesting nugget, and I don't mean to divert our podcast, but it is kind of current stuff that's happening. I was seeing that there was some commentary made about VA loans, for example. They are now requiring a buyer's agent contract to be signed. They will not issue loans without you having buyer representation. And that was interesting.
So there's actually, we are diverting a little bit, but in my research, I actually noticed that. And I didn't really think about that. So we do a lot of VA loan inspections in my area. I would say at any given time, maybe a third of our inspections have to do with a VA loan. And they always have these requirements and you have to meet these things. One of the requirements is that the seller can't pay the buyer's agent. Interestingly, there's some other stuff, and I'm probably getting it wrong because it gets complicated. Like in certain VA loans, you can't have the buyer pay for the... Oh, no, that was it. The buyer can't pay for certain things. Like the buyer can't pay for the wood-destroying insect. So we always had to do a workaround because New York State law says we can't accept any payment from the seller if they're not our client. So we always had to have this whole thing, and the seller would reimburse the buyer. But the new NAR settlement makes a VA loan technically impossible. So they're actually trying to work out a workaround for that right now. And they don't have long to do it. But I forget the exact reasons why. But yeah, that's a side point. I didn't dig too far into that. But no, that's interesting. They're going to have to change the policies or the how they go about this whole change July 1st, because there's a lot of VA loans out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on it. And if your particular area is quite affected by, if a lot of your business comes from clients who are getting VA loans, we'll keep an eye on it for you and report back. But that was something interesting I just noticed as well.
Yeah. Something else I noticed there too, is in California, home prices are starting to go down in localized areas in weird ways. So in San Diego, the one article I was looking at, they ended up selling a condo that they bought just a couple of years ago for $1.2 million, and they sold it for just under $700,000, almost exactly half. And that is unheard of for California. In fact, Newsweek, an article that reported on part of this, said that San Diego, 20% of homes are taking a loss on their sale.
Mm-mm.
That, wow. That's unheard of, again, for California. They're always kind of the odd man out. Because, you know, it's funny. If you go to Forbes housing market website, they have this cool little map. And you can hover over each one of the states, and it'll tell you the value of the average home today, value of 1 year ago, and the value of a home, average value of a home 5 years ago. So California is like nutty. It's like 5 years ago, $549,000. 1 year ago, $743,000. Value today, $785,000. I'm like, oh, those are good numbers. But when you actually compare them to other states, it's not. Like, you get New York. Average value of a home 5 years ago, $287,000. Value 1 year ago, $398,000. Value today, $428,000. Your state in Florida, it goes from $248,000 to $396,000 to $409,000. So, California is actually for one of the first times lagging behind a little bit numerically, percentage-wise, over other states, but in localized areas, taking a big kick to the face. But that's actually good for home inspectors. So that house that sells for half price and sat on the market for nearly a year means inventory goes up. That's what we wait for. The longer a house sits on the market, the more inventory there is. The more inventory there is, the more times a buyer will... So let's say you have 10 buyers in a week, and one of them rehires you to do another house after a failed inspection. That doesn't happen as much anymore. So when houses sit on the market more, buyers are like, okay, you know, this one didn't work out. We'll check out the next one. Now maybe two or three buyers are hiring you again after a, I say, quote unquote, failed inspection. You know what I mean? Like, something big happened and they walk away. So that's good for the market. It creates more inspections. We can't just go by the housing numbers. We're going by number of inspections. So all of this is looking very good for us in that line of things.
Yeah, man, it's pretty nuts. Sorry, I stopped listening because you gave me a map to play with here. So
it's a cool map.
Looking at all the numbers. But I mean, so one thing you have to think of, as you hover over these numbers, it's just the sheer numbers themselves. I mean, this is nuts, right? Like, you want to buy an average home in any one of these states, and these are the numbers you're playing for. Florida, 409,000. You said New York was what?
428, I think.
Yeah, Massachusetts, $616,000
average home.
Average home. I mean, that is insane. But and you can see, I mean, why folks are in the situation that they're in. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, places like Massachusetts, the numbers are artificially driven up because they are a smaller state with a couple of large cities and dense populations, and New York City tends to drive up New York prices in general. You go to like West Virginia and stuff like that, the numbers are going to be, you know, 114, 149, and then 155. So there are affordable places to live in. But interestingly, the difference in average income between a place like West Virginia and New York is not a disparaging difference. It's nominal at best. It's just pushing people out of areas like California. There's what they're calling a mass exodus. I'm not calling it a mass exodus, but, you know, the places like Arizona and California, people are leaving to come back east, which hasn't happened in years. People are coming back from Florida to go to New York. But effectively, it shows that if you bought your house 5 years ago, the value of your house has almost doubled in almost everywhere. And it's nuts. I know my house, I bought my house that I'm in now in 2015. Dude, it's more than doubled, and I can't believe the numbers. Even if it dropped dramatically, I'd still be making out way better than I ever imagined. It's nuts.
Yeah. So if you sold now and moved to Arkansas or Louisiana, you'd make out really well.
Yeah, exactly. Except I don't like the heat. I'm a cold weather guy.
Yeah, the look for sure. But it is interesting to see that. And I think all our listeners, depending on which state you're in, you know all the details of these stories and these numbers because you've lived through them for the last 5 years and seen how it's affected things. But yeah, that's interesting. So I don't know, should we go this far? I wanted to ask you about 2025. Have you got any like inklings about that? Do you want to go that far yet? Or what are you thinking?
I would like to stick to Q2, but just as a side point on 2025, I said this in our last Q1 podcast in January. 2024 is not going to be, you know, banner year with fireworks and amazingness, but we're out of the nosedive and we're pulling up. And that I am super thrilled with. The April, May, and June, I think are going to make us feel really good. There are more inspections out there, even though we may hear agents say, oh, everything's down, everything's this. There's actually more inspections out there. We're going to get more direct to consumer. I've had guys, I wanted to talk about this guy. Don't let me forget about this guy that called me and he didn't even know about our podcast. Shame on him, first of all. But
where's it been? Hiding under a, I don't know, rock somewhere?
I don't know. He had never heard of podcasts. Is that like a radio show? Q2, I really think this is going to be our feel good quarter. We're seeing things on the market longer. We're going to be doing real inspections again. I've not seen in the past 2 years less walk and talk inspections happening. I'm feeling really great. We're out of the nosedive. We're pulling up. 2025 into 2027 is really when we're going to start to see numbers big again. And actually, towards the later portion of 2027 and 2029, I think we're going to see another boom, like we did back in 2020, which is not just because of the 10-year cycle, but just how the market's going. It's just going to be right about on it. I like the upward part of the boom. I hate the boom itself and the time after it. So 2025 to 2028 is really going to be the sweet spot. I really think that's going to be awesome.
So then based on, if you're a home inspector right now, based on your current numbers, we could say that the drama is kind of subsiding and you're going to look more at kind of an annual cycle of the market as opposed to the wild rides we've been having the last few years.
Yeah. 2020 to 20 and through 2023 were the most dramatic. If you looked at it on a chart, it was off the chart, just right off the paper. Never seen anything like it. I think that is done. And I think the market's going to normalize over the next 5 to 6 years, and it's going to be a good time for home inspectors. This year, we're still going to, you know, it's not like we're going to be like, oh man, I'm going to go hire 5 more guys this year, and this is going to be their best year ever. There are some guys actually having their best year right now, but man, if you had started last year, I said this too. I'm like, if you had started last year, you're doing good this year because you got all the junk out of the way, half your competition's gone, and now this is the year where things really pick up. Awesome. So it's good, but it is a changing market too. And so going back to that guy that doesn't listen to podcasts, he said, Ian, I don't know. He was talking to me about a website and marketing. He goes, you know, I've had the same agents referring me for the past 10 years. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. It was like they all went out of business. And then I don't have any agents, and then I have to figure out how to market to consumers and get new agents. And I'm like, oh, were some people nervous about the NAR lawsuit? He goes, yeah, at least a couple of my best agents are like, oh, this is a good time to retire. I'm like, huh, I wonder where you could have heard that. And we were laughing about it. He's such a cool guy. But he's like, it is a changing market. And he's like, I'm seeing it boots on the ground that it's not the same game show. There's a different wheel to spin and there's a different host, and we need to change our methods a little bit. You know, it'll swing back around. I think it'll come back around to agents again, but I think there's enough of a percentage of the market where you have to grab direct to consumer because we're going to lose more agents. So if 30 to 40% of agents are gone, let's say that trickles down to us and we have 100 referring agents and we just lost 30 or 40 of them. Oh no. Well, we can survive. But now July comes around. What happens if we lose 5 or 10% more or 30 to 40% more? That would be a very dramatic number. But there's already people that are like burned coming out of 2023 as agents. And this might just be the last kick to the shin that says, all right, I'm retiring. I know lots of people, lots of agents, not just, I'm not saying people, lots of agents and brokers that are like, you know, I'm just going to retire. You know, it was fun and I'm done. But those were the agents that were my favorite. You know, they always sent us 10 to 20 inspections a year. Great to work with. Never had problems. And those are the ones who are going to go out of business because they're retired. And then the low hanging ones that are just like, you know, hey, I bought this new shoe, these new snakeskin shoes with metal tips on them and my Ferrari outside because I did one deal last year. Those guys right. are going to be gone too.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out and how it affects things. And it will take a while to figure out what the new market looks like. I'm excited to see what new opportunities we can identify and help our listeners with as well, because they are going to be new opportunities. It's just figuring out which ones pan out. We kind of touched on it before, but seeing which ones pan out and how you can take advantage of them. I think it's actually kind of an exciting time for home inspectors if you play it well.
So there are guys out there right now, call me and ask me my opinion on things. And they are just, there's one who's starting a, I think he had a name for his company, like The Closers or something. Okay. And that's basically, he's not doing a showing service or anything, but he's taking a spin on that of like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. So it's really hard for these agents to get to closing now. How can I facilitate mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. And he's starting a company of just, I'm not going to get into details of it as some of it is proprietary, but the concept's not, it's actually been done before, but there's more of that coming out. Mm-hmm. Guys are talking more about even doing showing service, pre-listing inspections. They're coming back around too. Mm-hmm. I love pre-listing inspections, but either way, there's going to be a lot of, there's already opportunity and there's a lot of new opportunity too coming down the pike.
Cool. Well, this all feels oddly optimistic after all that negativity we've had for such a long time.
which one? We skipped one of our quarterly podcasts. I think it was Q3 last year because we're like,
We
can't stomach this. This stinks.
What's the use? We're just going to depress everybody and tell them what they know already.
Yeah. No, I feel good about this. I don't know if the listeners can hear me smile, but it's good. And interestingly, I kind of talk sometimes and I have my own opinions. And sometimes in my own head, I wonder, am I just kind of spitting, you know, spaghetti sauce and calling it ketchup? Or is that the expression the other way around?
I've never heard that expression, but we'll go with that one.
We have a developer that works with us and he says, what is it? It makes about as much sense as chewing on your socks.
No, it's like, I feel like I may be smoking my sock.
Smoking my sock. Yeah. In other words, it just doesn't make sense. I really got to use that expression. But interestingly enough, I was wondering if I'm like, am I on track? And there was this big wig guy that they interviewed in one of the Forbes articles that I was reading. And he said 2024 is going to be a quote unquote better market, not great. 2025 onward is going to work its way to greatness. And then we'll see another even market and then a buyer's market and then the big swing like we typically do. So that's all good news. And I'm glad he agrees with me. He must listen to the podcast, this multi-billion-dollar.
Must be, you know, you should sue him. You know,
I should.
Come on. Not an original idea.
I'll call my lawyer from a down the road. He'll have to come in from the field. He's got horses. Can you take on this big city guy for copying my thought?
I can picture him now as he stops, looks at you, and like spits on the ground. Yeah. think
about. Well, side Ian story. I had a guy on one of my properties. He was kind of making trouble, and my neighbor goes over, and he's like, "I'm going to check it out for you." And he shows up on one of my trail cams. He's got an automatic rifle in his hand, semi-automatic. and he has a license for it and everything. He's got this big beard. He's an ex-professional power lifter. So he's 70 years old, but his arms are like my thighs. And he's walking around. I see him on the game camera. I'm like, please do not find this guy that was on my property, because he's going to be dragging him out like a deer in a second. And he didn't find him, but he went and had a good old country talking with that fella.
Country talking.
He ain't coming back. And I'm like, if I ever need an attorney, I'm just going to call you.
Yeah, sir. So up where you live, it is a common sighting to see guys walking with rifles. Just in case you're a listener from the big city and you're wondering what's going on.
Oh, no, that's normal. I have people come up to my property with a rifle on. Hey, fella, I'm your neighbor over there. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Nice rifle. Yeah, you know, right. That's actually pretty normal.
Yeah, it is normal for most of the country, I guess, but, you know, it may be sad. Like, I grew up in suburbs, you know, so still not normal for me.
Well, I grew up in the suburbs, too. It was just different. One thing I do want to say that could spin things one way or the other is this is an election year. So that's the only caveat, as I don't think it's going to have a huge effect on the housing market, because people are already at a pressure point where I don't think the election is going to change their home buying decisions, but it is going to affect different policies. And we're not political here one way or the other. It's going to affect, but it's going to affect different policies, interest rates, and some other things that are going to affect people's buying decisions as to where they buy and how much they spend. Mm-hmm. So there are some factors that will happen with that over the course of the year. And that happens in November, obviously. And so We'll see the effects of that next spring, I think. So don't worry about that right now. In my opinion right now, enjoy the ride. This is going to be a great Q2. It already is. Even if it's not great, it's just better than it was last year. Be happy about that. And we'll talk about the Q3 market outlook when that comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. And if you've made it through all of the rough stuff and you still doing business as a home inspector, it's like Monopoly. You've just passed begin and you can collect your $200. You got another round. So yeah, well done. And we'll keep trying. I know Ian's going to keep trying to get everybody the information they need to make their business not just get by, but actually thrive as a home inspector, especially when we got good times ahead. So that makes me excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about a lot of stuff. The commercial real estate market for home inspectors going into that market has been fantastic. There's lots of opportunity with ancillary inspections that weren't as common before, and now they're becoming more common in certain areas. There's legislation that will benefit us, like everybody's talking about that one in Massachusetts, requiring that the home inspection be added as an option on agreements, can't be scratched out. Not requiring the inspection, that again, I still feel is not good, but requiring it to be there as an option for the buyer is good. I think stuff like that is, a lot of it's working in our favor right now. So very happy about that. And I'm glad you agree with me, Bjorn.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for having me on, as always.
Yep. Thank you. And everybody listening to the next episode, and we'll see you soon.
On behalf of myself, Ian, and the entire ITB team, thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you can catch our future episodes as well. And if you have any feedback, please send us an email at info@inspectortoolbelt.com. Also, don't forget to check out our brand new app for home inspectors, scheduling and report writing all in one easy-to-use app. Check it out now at inspectortoolbelt.com.
The views and opinions of this podcast and its guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Inspector Toolbelt and its associates.